May 17, 2023, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. back über 100 Stufen. Ich muss empor und höre euch rufen. Hartes du, sind wir denn von Stein? Hartes du, sind wir denn von Stein? Über 100 Stufen, niemand möchte Stufe sein. Ich muss weg über 100 Stufen, ich muss empören und höre euch rufen. Auf die Stufe sind wir denn von Stein. Auf die Stufe sind wir denn von Stein. Ich muss empören über 100 Stufen. Und niemand möchte Stufe sein. Nein, niemand möchte Stufe sein. Nein, niemand möchte Stufe sein. Ich muss es hören, 100 Stufen. Ich muss hören und höre euch rufen. Herr, bist du, sind wir denn von Stein? Ja, Herr, bist du, sind wir denn von Stein? Über 100 Stufen und niemand möchte Stufe sein. Ich muss weg über 100 Stufen. Ich muss ein Tor und höre euch rufen. Hartes du, sind wir denn von Stein? Ja, hartes du, sind wir denn von Stein? Hartes du, sind wir denn von Stein? Hartes du, sind wir denn von Stein?
For Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Start off with John Coltrane with Miles Davis live. Last tour he did with him, right? Bye Bye Blackbird. I think they only did this tune well after the Paris one. Yeah, they got booed, so they never played it again on the tour. Then we had Teenage Panzer Corps, Unfavorable Meanings. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Brother Jason, friend of Dean Roberts from New Zealand, but now both Berliners. Welcome aboard, Jason.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Well, I'm okay. Knee's still fucked up. Van got donated, but my hands are good. Working with my Missing Men on a new album. But let's talk about you, since you're the guest and you hold sway. But still, I'm interested in your journey through music. So please bring your earliest music. Oh, well, first, we got to give Brother Dean Roberts credit for the connect. But what I want from you, please, Jason, is bring your earliest musical recollection.
Wow, my first earliest musical recollection probably would have been as a little kid tripping out on some Godzilla film soundtrack. And it was probably Monster Zero, I believe the film was. I got completely blown away by that.
Kaiju.
And then...
You know Kaiju? They call Kaiju the guys in the rubber suits.
Exactly. The guys with the big claw feet.
I mean, there's several different monsters. Like you were saying, Monster Zero, but I think his original name was Gideron. But for that movie, yeah, the guy's name. It's the three-headed
or
guy.
Planet Monster Zero or Planet Zero. So it was Godzilla versus Gideron Rodan.
Yeah, but Monster Zero.
Anyway.
You know, they rename them for the current movie. So what about your pop?
What about my dad? My dad. Oh, so anyway, and then remember that movie Zulu with Michael Caine?
Absolutely.
Remember that one?
Absolutely.
Loved that soundtrack as a kid. And then there was this movie called The Blue Max with George Peppard and I think Ursula Andress. It was this World War One.
I think it was Baron von Richthofen.
It was basically about him, yeah.
Yeah.
Played by George Peppard. Yeah, right. And that soundtrack blew my mind. So basically started with film soundtracks.
Okay, let me ask you this. The pad you grew up in, Was there musical instruments?
No. Funny you ask. Well, hold on. My sister had this, God knows where this thing came from, man. My sister had this old Spanish-style guitar with a super wide neck. Nobody ever played it. I had no idea in the world it was even there until the day my sister was moving out. And all of a sudden, sitting right there in the middle of a room, it was a guitar. At first, it was intimidating to me. I just sat there and plucked at it. My dad tried to fool around with it for a little bit, but then it just found itself underneath the bed again for a long period of time until years later it popped up again in the house. And I think I learned how to play Smoke on the Water, or the, you know, the Smoke on the Water riff on it. That was probably the farthest that guitar ever got.
No real instruments. Kind of a ripoff. Yeah, Smoke on the Water riff is Stooges Loose with an extra little half-step thing. Let me ask you this. In grade school, were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Yeah, I was in the choir. After third grade, my mom was so terrified of the California public school system, and she started sending me to Catholic schools. Yeah, so from the fourth grade on, I was starting to sing in the choir. Each class at the school was required to host a couple of masses several times during a month. I was always in the choir. School plays, I was always the singer. So that's how I got introduced to this, I guess.
Okay, let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
The first record I ever bought with my money was a Disney production. It was The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Ichabod Crane.
Exactly. With that graphic of the headless horseman with the pointy feet.
Well, he wants your head. That's why he's throwing the fucking fiery pumpkin.
Exactly. That was it. That was the first record I really ever bought. And then the first music record I ever bought.
Well, for me, music is music.
I
don't give a shit about genre. Well, I've grown out of that shit. Let me ask you this. What was the first gig you saw?
Oh, wow. The first gig I think I saw, I think it was a Grateful Dead show that my sister took me to at the Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco in the early 70s. I think it was.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you said you got back on that guitar. Did you, besides the Smoke on the Water, did you pursue it further?
No, I didn't. I couldn't tune the thing for shit. At some point in time, my mom tried to get me to take guitar lessons. This must have been in fifth or sixth grade. She was worried about all the skateboarding. And so she wanted me to spend more time indoors. I certainly wasn't reading very much. And so she thought maybe guitar would be something I could get into. And I took maybe about a month and a half of lessons, and I just wasn't into it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Not after school, like graduating, but in the afternoon, the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band, did you get in that kind of shit?
Yeah, that stuff came in eighth grade. Our seventh grade summer, eighth grade summer, we got together this Van Halen AC/DC cover band. You can only imagine what that sounded like.
Somebody well, maybe AC/DC and Van Halen, right?
Right. We tried to.
Kind
we
of. Tried to. Yeah. It's like building
somebody's mom rented some amps and parts of a drum set, and I think we thought we were doing it for a minute, but yeah. That was my introduction to band stuff.
I was going to say, it's kind of like building models, you know. It looks like the real thing, but not really.
Exactly. And I think at that point in time, I was supposed to be on bass, but we were able to determine pretty quick that I was not going to be the bass player, that I was actually going to be the singer. Kind of made sense.
Did you try the bass? Now, I'm a little prejudiced towards the bass.
Yes. We had this, Buddy's older brother had this blonde P bass, and which he referred to as just being a big dumb guitar. And
that's what I used to hear all the time.
I
used to hear all the time, four string guitar. But you know, the more I've worked with it, the less younger I get, I found it's a four string drum set.
I can see that as well too. I was always told that a piano is a kind of a drum set.
Absolutely. It's very percussive, and there's one button for every note, and you fucking kind of bang them. Why not? Now right. here's my proof about that with the bass. Fender makes something called, and also other companies make these baritone guitars. They're tuned down an octave just like a bass guitar, but they use them little strings. So they ain't got the punch. That's why I say it ain't a fucking four-string guitar, but that's just my personal opinion.
Isn't that one of those crazy things that Brian Wilson used to fool around with?
I tell you, if you watch those first, like Cream made a video for I Feel Free on their first record. Jack Bruce is playing one.
Okay.
But he switched over to a real bass very soon. These motherfuckers had a whammy bar out of me. But Dan Electro made them. Several people made baritones. I'll tell you where they used them a lot for Dublin. Tic Tac bass in country western swing. But also Dublin, like on the fucking Aerosmith rocks, Back in the Saddle shit. That's a baritone.
That's
guitar.
A baritone?
Well, it's doubled. It's doubled. Yeah, because the big heavy riffs on the low string. Now, to this band that you said paid tribute to AC/DC, Van Halen, did you guys ever do a gig?
No, we never ever did a gig. I remember a few rehearsals. In my town where I grew up, in Sunnyvale, just outside of San Jose.
I know Sunnyvale. They got the three big Zeppelin hangars.
They do, as a matter of fact.
I've driven by many, many times.
There's two on the Rocky side, and there's one at Moffett Field. And actually, it's because of those hangars, that Navy base there, that I actually landed in Sunnyvale, because my dad was in the Navy. My dad was a Navy pilot.
My pop was in the Navy, too, but he's a machinist mate in the engine room.
Right. And you and I one time were talking in Berlin, and you said your dad had the black hat on, and my dad had the white hat on.
Well, they called engine room guys black gang. And it was probably from the days of coal, right? Probably from coal dust.
Probably. Okay. It could very well be.
Since you guys never did, big military town. Since you guys never did a gig, at least you did a lot of jamming, a lot of prac.
Yeah. And that's when I got used to microphones. Of course, back then we didn't have a PA, so we were singing through guitar amps and stuff like that. And that's when I first started really blowing out my throat.
Yes.
Trying to sing over the volume through a guitar amp. Yeah.
Look, you gave me this... I want to play some music first, because you gave me another Teenage Panzer Corps, we're going to get into this, called Vort...
Okay.
This is a title, brother.
For Amps?
Vortan Vortung Freunde.
Thank you. I picked a bound 200 miles around, more than town to town. Thank you.
For Pedro Show, we started that chunk off with Teenage Panzer Corps. Vortan Vortung Freunde. Then we had Pelican Man. Excuse me, I'm trying to tell the people what songs we just listened to. Okay, then after that we had Pelican Man with part 12 of Planet Chernobyl. This is an opera me and Petra Hayden put together with Charlie Plymouth's libretto, part 12 of 15. Brand new from Dream TX is Elated. Then Stefano Pelia, my Il Sogno de Manio bandmate. You know Andrea Belfi, Jason. Imago. Junk Orbit after that with Neith. Zbekstri with Plex Visitation. Brother Ray was on the show last week. And finally, Social Unrest with Good For You. Tell me about this band, Teenage Panzer Corps, please, Jason.
All right. Okay. In the mid to late 90s, I had a label in San Francisco called 3 Acre Floor. 3 Acre Floor put out about 13 discs, vinyl, and CDs. One of the main reasons this label existed was to present music by a band I had together with this guy, Glenn Donaldson, called The Knit Separates. The Knit Separates put out about 4 or 5 things. We went to Europe on a short tour. We came back and the whole thing sort of unraveled. It was at that point in time that Glenn started a label of sorts together with this other guy named Lauren Chassie in San Francisco called Jeweled Antler. And what Jeweled Antler primarily, it was a collective, what Jeweled Antler primarily focused on was a bunch of homemade music, in part improvised, in part field recorded, okay? And all of a sudden, within a matter of months, there were about, 6 or 7 bands that these guys were in, and it seemed like they were putting out at least 3 or 4 releases like every half year. Glenn is from Southern California. He's from Orange County. He comes from a pretty formal punk rock background as well. He and I were both punk rockers back then. And all of a sudden, he turned to me and he said, hey, man, why don't we just get in the room, press, play, record, and let's just record some songs. So I went to bass. By this point in time, Mike, I had started playing a little bit of bass. Glenn was on guitar. And then this guy, Pat Tobes, who used to be in this San Jose punk rock band called Ribsy, who you may or may not have heard of. They were sort of old Bay Area stalwarts in the 80s, starting from the early 80s. R-I-B-Z-Y, absolutely fantastic band. Pat was in Ribsy. At times he played drums. At other times he played guitars. He's multi-instrumentalist. So we got Pat in on drums. And then this guy who I met in Germany years ago on tour, this German guy named Carsten Scholl, he used to come to California on these vinyl hunting safaris. He was a punk vinyl collector. And so he'd ended up spending 2 or 3 months in California. And so we said, all right, well, why don't we get this German guy to sing? I don't know if you recall, but in the 90s, there was this whole new sort of rekindled interest in krautrock and stuff like that. So we thought, okay, well, we'll get a German guy on vocals. That'll be interesting for everybody. So Carson starts on vocals. I'm on bass. Glenn's on guitar. Pat's on drums. And like I said, we just pressed play, record, and we just churned this stuff out. There were no rehearsals per se. We all knew what we were doing. We all came from this music. We knew what to do. So we just pulled it off. And then, I guess back in the day, you used Pro Tools and stuff like that. You'd sort of clean it up in Pro Tools. But beyond that, there really wasn't much to it. So that essentially is Teenage Panzer Corps. We did about 4 or 5 albums. Did a bunch of records on Silk Breeze. Did a single on Release the Bats in Sweden. Got Brave Mysteries, put out a cassette anthology. There were like 4 singles, 4 7-inches, 5 albums, maybe some comp tracks. Pretty fun band while it lasted. That band then splintered into what it is I'm doing right now, which is this band called The Walking Corpses. And Glenn now, he had this band called Horrid Red, who you might have heard of. He also has this band now called The Reds, Pinks, and Purples, which are doing pretty good.
Now, Teenage Panzer Corps, was that your second band?
No. No way, man. That was, my 5th or my 6th or my 7th.
Because you talked about having a band. You talked about a band before, all these people that you were talking about. And then I know there's the band that was doing covers of Van Halen and AC/DC. So
that was just kid stuff in junior high.
Yeah, but I mean, everything's kind of connected. That's why I wanted to talk about it. So what's between Teenage Panzer Corps and that high school band?
Okay, so, or that junior high band. So, after that junior high summer with the Van Halen AC/DC cover band, fast forward about a year and a half. At this point in time, it's like 81, and I'm definitely into hardcore. And all of a sudden, my best friend across the street, together with some couple of other guys in the neighborhood, dudes I was going to high school with back then, sophomore year of high school, we just started getting in the garage. The dude who was playing drums back then was this guy named John Gifford. His brother, who was way older than the rest of us, had a Fender Mustang guitar. He had the remnants of an old Vox bass and bits and pieces of a Pearl drum set. And somehow we got that drum set together, got some amps from somewhere, and we just started writing songs in my buddy's garage. And next thing you know, we had this band called Grim Reality. And Grim Reality started off pretty slow, but it became somewhat auspicious in that.
What were you playing in Grim Reality?
I was singing.
Okay.
This begins my singing trajectory.
Yeah, okay. You got to remember, I wasn't there, so you got to, like, use words to let me know.
Okay, I totally understand. So I was singing. My buddy Bob Demler was on bass. This other guy, Bill Wasmith, was on guitar. And this guy, John Gifford, was on drums. And, you know, we banged it out there for about half a year, maybe a year.
Was the first gig?
We started getting gigs.
Hold on a second, Jason. I want to be able to ask you some questions, okay?
Now, yeah, go ahead.
Was the first gig in this Grim Reality?
Grim Reality?
Yeah, Grim Reality. Was the first gig for Grim Reality your first gig ever?
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact.
Tell me about that gig.
Okay, I think this show was at the San Jose City College. And if I'm not mistaken, it was with Los Olvidados and Ribsy.
I remember Los Olvidados.
Yeah, I think it was with Los Olvidados and Ribsy. I believe that was the first show. Now, just, Mike, just before the show, there was this night at the at the Sunnydale Community Center, in which a bunch of people who I would later go on to go punk rocking with had just rented this room and had set up a drum set and had some amps. And there were maybe 9 kids hanging out in this room, and everyone was just taking turns on instruments, checking each other out as we performed.
So that's actually your first gig.
Was it really a show?
Yeah.
It was more just like an open-door practice, open-door rehearsal.
Well, you get in front of people and you know, trying to express yourself. To me, that's good enough for a gig. And would you consider that either one of those gigs, or both of them maybe, successes?
Yeah, of course I did.
Well, I wasn't there. You got to tell me. Now, I've had a lot of gigs that were not successes, people throwing shit and stuff like that, so that's why I ask that.
Oh, I've been through all that, man. I've been through all that. No, this was definitely a success. I had people patting me on the back. I had people saying, whoa, dude, didn't know you could do that. Whoa, dude, you want to come and try out for this band? Whoa, dude, you want to do this? You want to do that? So, yeah, automatically, affirmation, total affirmation. Yeah?
How long does this band last?
Grim Reality maybe lasted until, maybe the beginning of 84, middle of 84.
What broke it up?
Yeah, Grim Reality. Can I tell you something about Grim Reality?
Well, what broke the band up?
What broke the band up?
Yeah.
Hold
on, we're going to have to save it. We're going to have to save it for next. We ran out of time. We're at the end of the first hour, May 17, 2023 edition. Pedro Show, special guest Jason from Berlin. Hold tight for hour 2. May 17, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
shot like hell, I promise. I saw aliens up like hell.
Thank you. Thank you.
Flop for Pedro show start off the second hour with Disney Boys doing Sea Caves. Scott O'Donnell with By Transmitter Hill. Ratchet Orchestra from Quebec with In Search of Tone Roads number 2 for Charles Ives. This man made his own instruments, people. And then finally, Disney Boys with I Thirst. But before we get into Disney Boys, people, we got to hear about Grim Reality, what ended up with him. Please bring Jason.
Okay, so a couple of cool things about Grim Reality. Are you familiar with Oxbow, the band Oxbow?
Of course.
Eugene Robinson?
Huge. Okay. Yeah.
Do you know...
Whippin' Boy. Whippin'
Boy. Do you know Nico Wenner, the guitar player in Oxbow?
No, but I remember Whippin' Boy.
Okay. Nico was also in Whippin' Boy.
Okay.
Okay. Nico, who is now the guitar player in Oxbow, was also the guitar player in Whippin' Boy. Nico came to Whippin' Boy from Grim Reality. Nico was in Grim Reality. Nico, who is now in Oxbow, was the guitar player in Grim Reality. So that's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely.
Okay?
You understand, I didn't live up there, so I don't know that well. But I remember when Whippin' Boy, and I remember Huge is a pretty persona, individual, unique guy. I dig him much.
Exactly. Yeah, I've known him since I was a little kid, man. I've known him since I was like 15 years old.
Yeah, intense guy. You know, I think he
was. I mean, we don't see each other for years, but when we see each other, you know, it's always, you know.
I think
we know
he
who
went
we're talking
to. I think he went to Stanford.
He went to Stanford, dude. He was a defensive back at Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah. So that.
Yeah.
And also,
Steve Ballinger, the big huge dude on the Stratocaster.
Uh-huh.
Steve Ballinger, he was also on the Stanford team.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, people, anybody can do punk. You just got to have enough fucking cojones. So tell me about
exactly
how Grim Reality ended up.
Okay, so anyway, Grim Reality went through very many different changes. All kinds of permutations, all kinds of defections, people coming and going, left, right, and center. But I pretty much remained the constant in the band. I was there from day one. I was there at the very, very end. A neat thing that ended up happening with Grim Reality is that Stevie Caballero put out a cassette tape, a compilation of San Jose bands from back then. Ribseed, Unaware, Grim Reality. I'm pretty sure Los Olvidados was on it. There were a couple of other bands on there as well. Sorry, guys, if I can't remember who you are at this point in time. But anyway, it was called Growing Pains. It was put out by Stevie Caballero. It was the first release I was ever on. And Pusshead did the cover for it. Yeah? Pusshead did the cover for it. I think that's pretty fucking smoking, dude. Your first ever release ever put out by Stevie Caballero and Pusshead does the cover. I had no idea in the world what I was doing. I'd never been in a studio in my life. Yeah? Then Stevie also put out I believe it's an 8-track 7-inch called From the Valley Within. And that was Grim Reality, Ribsy, The Faction, and Mistaken Identity. And that was the first vinyl release I was ever on. And that probably came out about a year after the Growing Pains cassette.
So that's
pretty cool.
But the band ran its course. You say, ran
out of
gas.
Yeah, the band ran its course. And what ended up happening is, are you familiar with Social Unrest? They're a pretty old Bay Area punk rock band. They've been around since like 79, 78 or 79. Okay, and they've seen me perform with Grim Reality, and they were looking for a new singer because Cretan had let them know that he was moving on. He didn't want to be in the band anymore, and so they were actively looking for a singer, searching for a singer. They saw me perform with Grim Reality, and they called me, and they asked me if I wanted to sing for Social Unrest. I said, well, at this point in time, I don't really want to because, you know, I was already in a band. I was in Grim Reality. It was my baby, so to speak. And then about a month later, I basically got notified that our third drummer, I guess who that was moving. He was, moving on. He was going to go do something else, which meant that we were going to have to find another drummer. And I think at this point in time, both Ron, Issa, and both Nico had been asked to join Whippin' Boy. And so Grim Reality just effectively dissolved, at which point I called Social Unrest and they said, hey man, yeah, you want to try out? Come in next weekend and come try out for Social Unrest. And I tried out for Social Unrest.
And how long were you with them?
And I got the gig.
How long were you with them?
Social Unrest? From, I guess, like spring of 84 till around November of 87.
Okay, you know what?
Until November of 88. Until November of 88.
Remember Monty Python, they asked the guy his favorite color and he gets it wrong. Look, I'm going to play some more Disney Boys and we'll talk about Disney Boys.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
Why, from Pedro's show, that Chunk of Music, start off Disney Boys doing Ruin Die, then Adele Mead with interlude number one, Woody and the Urchins with Life in the Middle Class, Andre Vida out of Berlin, Sax Man, expat like you, Jason, 0709, friend of Andrea Belfi and Larry Mullen. That's where when I met you and we were talking that day. Bondo with Egoizing, and then finally Disney Boys, Spike in My Skull. Tell me about Disney Boys.
All right. Around 2014, I was at a party in Prenzlauer Berg here in Berlin. Prior to this point in time, I had been super involved with all kinds of sound art and performance art. I had let somebody know that even though I still love that stuff, I was missing the rock and roll days, the heavy-duty rock, high-powered rock, being on stage, gyrating, moving, sweating to the sounds. Somebody told me that there were going to be a couple of guys at this party that I should meet. I went to the party. Actually, there weren't two. There was only one. It was this dude named Chad Cornies, who used to be in this band from Vancouver. I think this was in the 90s, called the Spitfires. And then later on, he had a band called the Black Halos. He and I talked. He said, hey, man, you should come down and just jam with us one afternoon, one Sunday, sometime very, very, very soon. So I went down there. I met this guy, Chris Gray. I met this guy, Tom Wenzel. And we started writing some songs. And then next thing you know, we started writing some more songs. Next thing you know, we're recording a 7-inch. Actually, I think you have that 7-inch. I sent it to you. There's a song called Find Water, and there's a song called Sea Caves. We recorded that, and then we just started doing tons and tons of shows here in Berlin.
Do you remember the first? Do you remember the first Disney Boys gig?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. What about it?
Well, I wasn't there. You're going to have to tell me.
What about it? I completely knocked myself after like 6 or 7 songs. I was completely dehydrated. I blew my vocal cords out, and I think I gave myself a hernia.
Jesus.
Yeah, that I've never had looked at. I've never had it looked at since then. I know I have a hernia because doctors have looked at me and said, you know you have a hernia, right? And I remember exactly the night where I got it.
Whoa. Now, you said this is 2014. So what was in between that, what was it, social unrest?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so after Social Unrest, there was this band called the Knit Separates. After the Knit Separates, there was this band called Teenage Panzer Corps. While Teenage Panzer Corps was going on, I also had this band called the Child Readers. Well, at the end of the Child Readers and the end of Teenage Panzer Corps, I started doing the solo thing, this performance thing called The Shitty Listener. And what The Shitty Listener was kind of a lo-fi, found sound, found instrument, one-man act in which I would tell stories, sing a cappella, and basically just play loops, play bits of songs back on Walkmans and recorders, and just improvise music to them.
Now, why didn't you send
me? What I was doing.
Why didn't you send me any of that?
I didn't think you'd be interested in it.
Told you I don't like genre. Music is music, so I'm going to take it all.
I got it.
I'm curious in your journey through music.
Okay. Okay. I totally get it. I mean, if you're very curious, of course, I can send you stuff for you to listen to, you know, privately. Certainly, I'll send you that stuff. But this is what I was doing, and I was hanging out here in Neukölln with a bunch of people.
Well, you should
kind
of tell me how you got to Germany, because we were talking all California, NorCal. And now we're talking Berlin.
Right.
So how'd that happen?
Okay, so summer of 87, social unrest, ends up getting an album licensed in Europe by a label and distro in Amsterdam called Concurrent. And they had us come over, I think, in mid-July, summer of 87. We were over there until about early November. We were there for a while. And we toured all over Western Europe, from Norway to Slovenia, down to Spain, with everywhere in between except for France. While there, I discovered all kinds of music that I had never, ever encountered in the States and Canada once.
Totally blew my mind. I got completely fascinated. Jason, I'm going to have to hit the
pause.
I'm going to have to hit the pause button for a second because we ran out of time. We're at the end of the second hour, May 17, 2023, edition of Wapedros with special guest Jason from Berlin. Hold tight for hour three. May 17, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
Into a very dark ditch, just to feel the pain. Thank you.
When you went away, no sound. Memories are not profound. Now you've been away so long. Memories will fade.
Watford Pedro Show start off the third hour with Knit Separates. Hey, Black Sunshine, Paranoid State from Netherlands. Keep it on. Film Venerable, Baseworks number 3 out of North Carolina, Pineapple Empress, South Side of London, Oh My Boy, Diane Marie Kloba, Tranquil Night, and finally Knit Separates again with Messerschmitt Practice. So to continue your story about how you ended up in Germany.
Yeah, so anyway, we toured over here for about 3 months. I ended up encountering all kinds of music that we did not have in the States back then. And I just realized that this was the music scene that I wanted to be part of. I wanted to be over here. So I tried to get back over here as fast as I possibly could. The only way that I could ever end up spending any amount of real time here was, of course, if I had a visa. And at that stage in the game, back in 88, the only way you could get a visa is if you were a student. So I ended up going to university in southwest Germany, this place called Tübingen. You might have played there before or passed through it. And I was there for about a year and a half or so, maybe a little bit longer. And, while there, I ended up, there's another band I forgot about. I ended up getting involved with a few people who were heavily involved in the West German punk rock scene back then. And we ended up having this band called Happy Ever After. We put out a 7-inch and did a split single with another band, did a tour, opened up for Die Cruisin'. Remember Die Cruisin' from Milwaukee? Ended up opening up for them for a bunch of shows. Good times. Late West Germany, 88, 89.
And what's Knit Separates?
Okay, so the guy that I was in the Teenage Panzer Corps with, Glenn Donaldson, okay? He and I formed this band called the Knit Separates. The Knit Separates now was me, having had it with always being the singer in the band, I decided now that I actually wanted to play guitar and some other stuff. So by this point in time, I could actually play a couple of chords, and I had a couple of guitars sitting around the house that I'd gotten somewhat comfortable with. And what was significant and really important for me about the Knit Separates is that this was Adwater Insta music. It was like around the time of like D-Thousands and Alien Lanes, all those early Guided by Voices records. Of course, I have to say I was completely inspired by these records, yeah. Home recording, dude. So all we did was we hung out in Glenn's place, and he had like a Tascam 4-track, and dude, we would just hang out Friday night and just record albums. Hang out Saturday night, record albums. Hang out Sunday, record albums. Go camping, bring recording gear with us, record albums. We just started recording albums like crazy, yeah? And this is really important for me, because I had such bad experiences in the recording studio as a younger guy. I sometimes felt like I was kind of like a gear guinea pig, you know. There'd be a producer or somebody, maybe they didn't mean this so much this way, but they had a whole bunch of new gear that they were checking out, and here was a little band that they could sort of try this stuff out on. I might not be articulating this exactly how I want to, but I think you get what it is I'm trying to say. And ultimately, thankful for the fact that I got to be on records, but they didn't always sound like the records how I dreamed of them sounding. Yeah, and all of a sudden, when we were the producers, and when we had that Tascam 4-track, when we were tuning the guitars how we wanted them to be tuned, when we were playing the kind of guitars that we wanted to play, when we were setting up the drums how we wanted to set them up, and then all of a sudden we started making the albums of our dreams. Or at least for me, they were the albums of my dreams. They always sounded like the albums I always wanted to be on. And that for me was very, very, very important about the Knit Separates. Completely changed and revolutionized how I thought about recording music, and certainly how I thought about being in a band.
Okay, I want to play Walking.
And we did about three albums. A bunch of a couple of singles, a bunch of stuff.
Okay, I want to play Walking Corpses.
Thank you.
Bought for Pedro show. Last music for this edition. Started that chunk of music off with Walking Corpses doing I Never Tire. Then the Xenochronic AMM All-Stars. I did bass on this, where you send in over the internet your bass part. It was People in London. Improvisation. Seeking the Dark. Son Kevin, this is the son of Cynthia and Ivan Julian Slay. Ivan Julian from Richard Hell and the Voidoids. Finally, Walking Corpses with Easy Weapon. Tell me about Walking Corpses, Jason.
All right. So the Walking Corpses probably goes back to about 2015. Actually, it goes back to earlier than that. Karsten, who is a singer in Teenage Panzer Corps, lives in Aachen, Germany. That's about 500 miles away from me. Okay.
Right on the border with Holland. I just played there. That's where Charlemagne
exactly.
has his throne.
Exactly. That's awesome. Okay. From time to time, Karsten would be in Berlin either visiting me or here with one of his other bands. He had a couple of other bands that he was active with here in Germany. And when he'd be in town, I would record him, I'd record his vocals, or a buddy of mine, John Higgins, had a little studio. We'd record Karsten's vocals at John's studio. And with that, then I would then record or make little soundscapes out of noises I was generating together with Karsten's voice or his vocals, whatever you want to call them. Kind of like music concrete type stuff. Okay. Well, all of a sudden, about two cassettes in, Karsten let me know that he doesn't want to be part of the project anymore. So then I go to some friends of mine here in town, primarily a bunch of Australian guys, and we start focusing on a whole different phase of the Walking Corpses. Did you ever know John Murphy? John Murphy, the Australian music personality. His dad was a really well-known, I think, wartime and post-war Australian jazz drummer. John was a
I know
a
Jim White.
Drummer.
Jim White is the drummer man I know from Australia.
Okay. John Murphy, man, you cannot leave John Murphy's resume. John Murphy was in, I think it was Australia, called Trumped is Australia's first punk rock band. They were called the B-Beats. I'm not sure if they were from Sydney or if they were from Melbourne. I can't remember anymore. They're called the B-Beats. And then John had this monstrous career, man. He was in Nina Hagen. He was in, or he played drums for Nina Hagen at various times. He was in,
Jason, we only got a
the
couple,
Associates.
We
he
only
was
got,
in,
Jason, we only got a couple minutes left. Let's hear about your music. I'm sure Mr. Murphy is a great drummer.
Okay. So anyway, all these guys, so we ended up, John was on one of these cassettes, and then he actually contributed some stuff on our first full-length album, which actually only came out as a cassette. Sadly, John passed away, okay? But regardless of John, it's just me and this guy Julian Percy, me and this guy John Evans. There's also this guy Chris Anton, who's in the band. And there's also a guy, Iffy, Christian Ifland, who runs a really great record store here in Berlin called Static Shock Records. And what you're playing right now is from the record I just did with these last four guys. And we just did a show last week here in Berlin together with Sudden Infant. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Sudden Infant. We just did our first show in 3 years since COVID. We were actually going to do a record release two nights before everything fucking shut down, that COVID spring, that March. Our record release show got canceled, so we finally had a record release show last week. It was absolutely fantastic. That was the first live show I've done in 3 years. I couldn't believe it, dude. It felt so fucking good. It felt so damn good.
And what's your next music plans?
Good question, man. I don't know. The thing is I'd like to continue on with the Walking Corpses real, real bad. The thing is Julian, the guitar player, lives in Portugal, so it makes things kind of difficult. We're all planning to go there to do some recording. I think in the meantime, what I'm going to try to do is focus more on the shitty listener. This performance thing that I was telling you about, this solo thing that I do. Actually, I just got asked by some dude to do a benefit. There's a center around the corner, a bunch of Ukrainian refugees, and they're looking for people to perform for the people there. So I think I'm going to put on a shooting listener show at the Ukrainian Refugee Center, sort of a benefit.
Yeah, if you could.
That's what it's looking like.
It would be interesting to send me some shitty listener, because I'm curious to what it sounds like. You tell
sure.
stories.
I can
huh?
totally do that. Do
you, okay.
Do you want me to send you MP3s or what do you want?
Yeah. The same way I got this music that you had your buddy Jesse send it to me, right?
Right, exactly. Okay, I think I can do that, definitely.
I would appreciate it much. But walk-in corpses are still going to keep, it's a still going concern with the new members.
Definitely. I think the plan is we're going to go to, Julian's got this house on the coast of Portugal.
Yeah.
We're going to fly down and hang out in the sun and work on some shit in his home recording studio.
There's a good music scene in Lisbon.
Yeah, he lives not too far away from Lisbon. I think he's just south of Lisbon.
Yeah, very experimental and stuff. I know Alex from Dirty Beaches spent a lot of time there and stuff. Anyway, I want to thank you so much for
being... Dirty Beaches. Yeah. Yes, of course. You know that guy.
He's been on the show. I got to collaborate. Alex Huntong. What would you call him? Colleague? I look up to him a lot. Beautiful man. He's been on the show.
Cool. I saw them in here in Berlin. That's a cool band. I saw them here in Berlin once or twice.
Yeah. So, yeah, send me some shitty listeners. That'd be righteous. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jason.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, dude. And thank you very much for your interest.
Okay, people, it's been the May 17, 2023 edition of the Wofford Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.